I want to just minister to you for a few moments because the Lord's already done a beautiful work. I mean, wasn't it beautiful to see these people down here and the Lord touching them? And how many of you came to the altar and the Lord touched your heart? Raise your hand. Yeah, look at all the people. So beautiful. And the Lord's speaking something to me. If you're visiting today, I've never done this outside of today, but if you're visiting at the end of the service, if you'd like me to pray for you, come to the front at the end of the service and I'll pray for you. Okay, I'd love to do that. If you're visiting, I'd love to pray for you at the end of the service. And let me lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Amen? It's Memorial Day weekend. And let's take a moment and just put our hands together and honor all those who gave their life and those who have been wounded for our freedom. Come on, are you thankful for your freedom? It's a big deal. Men and women gave their life. They bled and died so we could have a freedom. And I want to tell you this as an immigrant, as a person who's a son of an immigrant, married to an immigrant, I think this is one of the greatest nations that God ever let live on the face of the earth. And pray for your nation. Don't curse it. Pray for it with all its problems and challenges. Pray for our nation. Pray for every government leader to be saved. I can't get amen from church people on that. Pray that God would save and fill our entire Senate with the Holy Ghost. Our entire Congress with the Holy Ghost. Our executive branch. How many people believe that God can do that? He did it to Pharaoh. God can save any. Save the Apostle Paul, who was murdering Christians. He saved you and me. Everybody say, he can save anybody. Yeah, pray. Say, God, save our whole nation. Save everybody in Congress. Give them dreams. Wake them up in the middle of the night. Let them have a dream of Jesus, and they fall on their knees and start weeping uncontrollably and turn to the Lord. God could do that, you know. I'm not done yet. God can do it. Amen. And do you know that the Lord puts the responsibility for the healing of a nation not on wicked people, but on his people? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. God's people got wicked ways. That's what God said. My people got wicked ways. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven, I would forgive their sins, and I would what? Heal their lands. Look at all these young people sitting on the front row. How old are you? 15? 13? 13? You are very special to Jesus. You are very special to the Lord. The healing of a nation is on us. Real change does not start in the White House. It starts in our house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua. We'll serve the Lord. Somebody say amen about that. Pray for your nation. Don't curse it. Thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. Fill them all with the Holy Ghost. Save them. Baptize them. Let them get water baptized. Can you imagine seeing a president or Congress or Senate get water baptized? How about we have a water baptism at the White House? Do it, Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen about that. Do it, Lord. Fill them all with the Holy Ghost. Let a revival break out. See, you don't think any, you think these things are not possible. Anything is possible with God, unto him that believeth. Come on, somebody. Amen. Wouldn't it stir your heart to see the governor of Minnesota have tears run down his face because he's in love with Jesus? He or she is in love with the Lord. This is the work of the Lord. Only the Lord can do these things. So pray for your nation. Don't curse it. Pray for it. And this is what we're doing here on this Memorial Sunday. On this Memorial Day weekend. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. I'm just going to read something to you. man, the Lord's already in the house. It's been so beautiful. What the Lord is doing. You know, when I grew up, we did church like, you know, we did worship, and then there was a sermon, and then we always had like a God moment at the end of service, like altar prayer or anything at the end of the service. How many people grew up like that? You grew up in church like that. I want us to allow the Lord to minister at any part of the service. And let's let worship break out at any part of the service. Can I get an amen about that? The reason I don't want just the Lord to move at the end of the service is I don't want you to feel like Him moving is dependent upon the preacher or the sermon. It's dependent upon us, the worship, His presence in the room. Look at all the people who have already been ministered to, and there's been no sermon. Sermons don't save people. Jesus saves. Sermons don't heal people. Jesus heals. That's why most of the time when I'm done, I just send you home because I gave you information. Come on, can I get an amen about that? But when the Lord comes in the room, miracles take place. I'm trying to minimize me and maximize Him. So if you come in, go like, let's hurry up and get to the worship so we can get to the sermon. No. We need Him in the room. I don't want to just give you word. I want to give you word in His presence. Because the word in His presence is what produces miracles. Amen. So the book of Joshua chapter 4 verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. This is when the Lord set them free. That the Lord spake to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people. One man from every tribe. How many of you know there were 12 tribes of Israel? Amen? And commanded them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed for the children of Israel, and one man from every tribe. Verse 5, and Joshua said to them, carry over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and may it be a sign. Everybody say, let it be a sign. Among you, when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean, mommy? Hey, daddy, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them that the waters were parted and cut back before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were pulled back. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. This is the very first time the word memorial is mentioned. Everybody say it's Memorial Day weekend. It's a Bible word. Where does it come from? It comes from right here. A memorial. You shall build a memorial that when your children ask you, hey, mommy, what do these stones mean? Hey, daddy, why are these stones here? You shall tell them. This is when God set us free. All of your children need to know why you're saved. You need to sit your child down and tell them, this is why mommy and daddy love Jesus. Mommy and daddy weren't always saved, you know. We used to be slaves to sin. We had a lot of bondage and addiction in our life, a lot of anger, bitterness. The Lord set us free. Every time you give to the Lord, your children need to know why. They need to know why there's a Bible in the living room. Why you stand when you sing. How come you go in the morning, Mom, and I see you come out of that room and you always have tears in your eyes? Let me tell you why. I had a pastor, and if I told you his name, all of you would know. He was losing his boy, he was a teenager, young adult. He was losing him to drugs and alcohol. And he didn't know what to do. And he called Bishop Jakes. And Bishop Jakes says, you need to take your son. And you need to put him in the car with you. And you need to drive him somewhere. And you need to put the car in park. And you need to tell your son everything you have ever done wrong. All of your sin and your shame and the things that you are most embarrassed about. And the reason he cannot identify is because he thinks you're perfect. He doesn't know why you're saved. And that's what he did. He put him in the car and he sat there for 2 hours and told his son every wicked, demonic, hateful, embarrassing thing he had ever done. And it freed his child. Set him free. Your children need to see your scars. They're a memorial. God heals the wound, but not your scar. Why do you give to the Lord, Mommy? Tell them. Every time you write a check, they don't even know what a check is. Look at this. Mom and Daddy are giving to the Lord. Mom and Daddy didn't always have money, you know. There was a time we had a lot of fear. We didn't know how we were going to make it. But God blessed us. All that we have, we owe to Jesus. A memorial. Why do you serve, Mommy? Come, guys. Mom and Dad are getting ready to accept to serve here next Sunday. I want you to know why we serve the Lord. I want you to know why. Tell your children and your children's children. This cross is a memorial. Everybody say, thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. That's a memorial. That is an emblem of suffering and shame. Let your children see that you suffer for the cause of Christ. How come bad things happen to good people? Why would a loving God let there be so much pain in the world? I don't know of a God that didn't suffer. I don't know of a God that didn't take on human form and die on a cross. We serve a suffering Savior. Jesus says, if you want to reign with me, you must what? You must suffer with me. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. We don't want our kids to ever suffer. And that's why they struggle with obedience. Yeah, suffer. We let our kids suffer for other things. Well, I don't want to push my faith on my child. Are you out of your mind? Have you lost it? You think the world is not trying to do everything they can do to shove their nonsense down the throat of your child? And you're going to be silent? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart. We're going to church. Get up. I didn't want to go to church. What's your last name? Rosazah. Rosazah's go to church on Sunday morning. Get your little hind parts in the car.
I didn't want to go.
Do I take care of you? Do I feed you? Do I provide for you? Yes, sir. Then get your blessed assurance in the car. We're going to church. Yeah, you train up a child. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, the Bible says. But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. That's what the Word of God says. Don't spank your children and teach them to hit. I don't know what it teaches your child. Let me tell you what it taught me as someone who was spanked. It taught me to sit down and shut up so I could exist in society. That's what it taught me. As someone who was spanked, I feel like I can speak on the subject of what it taught me. How do you avoid disciplining your children wrong? You never discipline angry. How do you avoid disciplining angry? You always pray before you discipline. If you pray before you discipline, you'll never discipline angry. And when you discipline your child, you keep them close to you the rest of the day. God does not discipline you and send you away. He disciplines you to bring you close. Never discipline your child and send them to their room. Discipline them and keep them next to you the rest of the day and let them know discipline brings you close to mommy. Discipline brings you close to daddy. That way their heart is always open to discipline because they know discipline brings you close to the Father. Am I helping anybody? Yeah. Do you know what? I just got Nicholas's football schedule for football. Do you know, Nico, they want him to show up at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. He's got to get up at 5. 5 days a week. For weight training. This is not practice. That's later in the day. 5 days a week. 5 a.m. Oh, let's not make them come to church and serve for 2 services. It's too hard. Is it too hard? Look what football makes your child do. Look what football makes your child. I'm already $1,500 in. $1,500 in. We ain't started. We ain't done the first thing yet. Then they're going to put me, I got to go and sit on a piece of metal. I got to sit on a piece of metal. And then I got to, he's not even playing in the senior, maybe not, he's a sophomore. So then I'm watching him watch kids play. And I got to pay for that. I got to pay to sit here so I can watch him watch somebody play the game. 5 a.m. Who's going to take him there? He don't drive. Who's going to take him? Who? Who's going to get up? 5 days a week. I don't want to go to church. Let's not make him go to church. Let's not make them start. I'm hungry. Well, be hungry for Jesus. You can be hungry for an hour. You be hungry. Do it for the Lord. Yeah. Learn to suffer something for Jesus. Look at all we're going to make him suffer for football. Hours and hours and thousands of dollars for football. And when it comes to church, it's like, we can only do 1 service. We can only go once every 6 weeks. Oh my God, they're hungry. It's too hard. This is crazy. This is nonsense. You tell me, how many of you want your children to reach their destiny? Amen. How many of you would do anything to see them reach their destiny? So what's their destiny? Romans 8:29. For those the Lord foreknew, he also predestined that they would become like Jesus. So if their destiny is to be like Jesus, and we're only coming to church and praying with them once a week, and their destiny is not to be a football player, although they can play football, that's not their destiny. Somebody say amen about that. Your destiny is more eternal than sports. You know what the NFL stands for? Not for long. And ask anybody in the NFL. They'll tell you. The average career in the NFL is 1 to 2 years. Okay, that's not their destiny. Their destiny is to be like Jesus. So what are we doing to help them reach their destiny? Yeah, suffer. Well, I'm hungry. Okay, well, good. When you're hungry in church, you go, for you, Jesus. I'm hungry for you. Some of y'all hungry now. Wish this big guy shut up so I can go eat what I want to eat. For you. Everybody say, for you, Jesus. For you, Jesus. There you go. You suffer for the Lord. My feet hurt. I've been standing an hour worshiping. For you, Jesus. Sure glad Jesus didn't quit on his way to the cross while he's carrying it. They say, ah, it's too hard. I'm tired. I'm bleeding. We have to have a theology around suffering. We've got to get that in our heart and in our children, because then when things don't go right and everything's not perfect, they think God doesn't love them and God's not with them, because we've not built a theology of suffering. We just built a theology around blessings and prosperity. Yeah, suffer for the Lord. Do that for him. Serve your sibling. Teach your little children to serve each other, because they don't serve on the usher team or the greeting team. Well, who do you serve? You serve your sister every day. I didn't want to do it. I know. And that's why it's worship to Jesus. Because if there's anybody, listen to me, anybody you don't want to serve, it's a sibling. And if God will touch your heart where you can serve a sibling, then you can serve anybody. This is why God made David take lunch to his brothers. David didn't go to the battle to fight. He went to the battle to serve his siblings. And because God knew he had the heart to serve his siblings, he said, I can make this child king of a nation. Your destiny may be tied up in how you love your siblings. Wow. Wow. The door that God wants to open may be behind your love towards your brother or sister. Why do you think Satan does everything he can do to destroy love of siblings? How can you have a sibling you don't talk to? God gave them to you. Do you know how many people in this room have nothing to do with their siblings? This is wrong before the Lord. You need to be praying for them daily. Getting on your hands and knees and saying, God, heal my relationship with my siblings. We're going to do some beautiful things in our church. One of the things the Lord told me to do is, and I don't know when, so don't harass me about it. You know, when you tell kids you're going to do something, all they want to know is when you're going to do it. But God spoke to me. We're going to do not a women's conference. We're going to do a mom's conference. A conference for moms. We're also going to do a dad's conference. Come on, guys. We're going to do a dad's conference. It's not the same. Being a dad is not, it's different from just being a guy. There's a different responsibility. And then we're going to do a sibling conference. Siblings. How many of you want God to heal the relationship with your sibling? How many of you would love to sit in church with all of your siblings and pray for each other and love each other and see God heal siblings? God gave them to you. My little sister, Audrey, just diagnosed with breast cancer. 38 years old. 38. Talking to her almost every day. She said, they told me after the surgery, I won't be able to feel hugs. So would you come and hug me? You don't appreciate what you have till it's gone. Life is short. Do not let the enemy rob you of the joy of the siblings and the brothers and sisters he gave you. How many parents in this room want your children to love each other all the days of their life? Come on, am I right about it? Your dream is that when you're dead and gone, they will love each other. So you have to model this to them. Some of you are modeling being absent in the life of your sibling. Well, it's expensive to go see them, and that's what love does. my pastor wrecked me, Pastor Ivan. He's going to be here. I was in Israel with him. And we were at this place in the Jordan, by the Jordan River, where you don't get baptized. And Alexander and Nicholas wanted me to baptize them. And I didn't have anything to baptize. I wasn't dressed to baptize them. There's a porta potty over there. And my clothes are in this bus. And I'm like, I got to go to this bus, get these clothes. I got to change in that porta potty in the Middle East. It's a porta potty in the Middle East. Oh my gosh. I got to go get it. The bus is like a mile away. I got to get all the way back. I got to change in this porta potty. And then it's the most slippery, muddy, getting in there. Almost broke my neck trying to get in this water. I get in there, I baptize them, and I'm almost breaking my neck getting out of it. And Pastor Ivan looks at me. I'm dripping wet, covered in mud, and I'm getting ready to go change back in this porta potty. He looks at me and goes, "Love does it all." How true that is. Love does it all. We need to get in the presence of Jesus in the morning and ask God to save our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, and ask God to heal them. How many of you want all of your siblings to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and love the Lord? Which is very important to the heart of God. I'll leave you with this, but let's just read it before we go. Genesis, go to Genesis 4. If you can't find Genesis, come to the altar. It's bad. Genesis 4. See, when you get in the presence of God, all of your pride leaves. Somebody say amen about it. All of your, you know, titles mean nothing in his presence. I don't care if you're the company CEO, leader of this, leader of that, president. None of that means anything. Jesus has never called me pastor. When you get in his presence, your titles mean nothing. You're just a son or daughter. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again his brother Abel. Many theologians believe Cain and Abel were twins because it doesn't use the terminology that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived with the second birth. It just says, "And again, she bore his brother Abel." It's not what I'm talking about, but it's interesting. And then she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper. He was a tender of the sheep. But Cain was a worker of the ground. I want you to hone in on this, because this is the same with their father, Adam. Adam was a keeper of the garden. A tender, the Bible says, a tender of the garden. But after sin, he had to work the garden. He had to work the ground. There's a difference between tending something and working. Work is hard. You don't want to work at marriage. You want to tend your marriage. You don't want to work at parenting. You want to tend parenting. Because when you tend it, you're letting God do all the hard parts. Somebody say amen about that. Tending can only be done with the Lord. If you do it without God, now you got to work. That's why marriage has gotten hard on you. That's why parenting's gotten hard on you. That's why finances have gotten hard on you, because you stopped tithing. You can't tend to it anymore. You got to work. This is how it happens. I'm not tithing, so then I can't come to church because I got to work. You're working. I can't go to church because I got to work. You're doing it without God. You're not tending. You're working. You're Cain. And Cain, we all know the story. Cain killed Abel. In order for Cain to kill Abel, he had to bring Abel into his field. Be careful. Be careful the people that you let bring you into their field, and they assassinate your joy and your peace and your love for the Lord and those that love you the most. At least you forget Cain was a brother. Tend, not work. And let the Holy Spirit... Let me give you one more quick thing. Let me give you a little... This is my secret stuff. I don't even know if I should be sharing this. This is my... Let me give you a strategy in parenting and in marriage. Almost like a memorial. The Bible says in the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Everybody say the Holy Spirit hovered. Then God said, everybody say, then God said. Then God said, this is the pattern. This is the secret pattern. Anytime you're in a fight with your spouse or your child or work, or people, the more you keep arguing, it gets darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. Am I right about it? Okay. So like I have teenagers and they'll get in like they know everything. You know, I told them the other day, I said, you should hurry up and leave the house while you still know everything so you don't end up stupid like me one day. You know, you're so smart. So they have an argumentative spirit that they go through. And they're arguing with me a little bit. And they don't know I have a secret weapon. Okay, which is the Holy Ghost. So what I'll do is when they get in that, I'll just my heart go, Lord, hover. Let your spirit hover. And when the Holy Spirit begins to hover, he makes your words effective. And they touch the heart of your child. The Holy Spirit hovered. Then God said, let there be light. So when the Holy Spirit hovers, your words become effective and it brings light in their life. And you know there's light because they go, I see what you're saying. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. This is how you do marriage, in the light and not the dark. This is how you do parenting, in light and not the darkness. And you can see. See, heaven's not lit by the sun or the moon. When you go outside today, when you leave, you know how you're going to find your car? Because of the sun. The sun's letting you see where your car is. Oh, there's grass here. There's a curb here. Be careful. The sun. In heaven, it's not lit by the sun. Every decision you make where to go is lit by his glory. So we're not there yet in the natural, but in the spirit you can be there. Yes. The entrance of that word gives light. Yes. What do I do with my child? What do I do in this marriage? What do I do in this situation? Show me Jesus. Hover. That's why we do altar the way we do altar. Oh, come down to the altar and let the Holy Spirit hover. Yes. And then the word comes forth. And you always should leave church seeing Jesus more clearly. So he hovered, then he spoke, and now you can see. You should leave church seeing your marriage more clearly. That's how you know he showed up. Because I can see my children more clear. I can see myself and the things in my life that I need to surrender because he brought his light. This is how you know Jesus came in the room, because you can see. At least we forget the disease Jesus healed more than any in the Bible was what? Blindness. I can see. And you leave church like the blind man going, I don't know what happened. All I know is I once was blind. I see my wife. I see my husband. I see my children. I see myself. I see Jesus. I see the value of prayer. I see the value of spending time with him. I see. And you leave seeing. The joy you feel in your heart is the joy of sight. That's how you know you've been with the Lord. Is you're no longer blind. This is the ministry of Jesus to the church. This is the beauty of being in his presence. As he gives sight to the blind, come see a man. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. Did you get something out of this today? Come on, can you give God praise?